I'd like to talk to you about planning your preaching. In our busy world, it's hard to find time to prepare sermons. You have to plan that preparation. The duties of any pastorate, large or small, can easily shove sermon preparation aside. You've already found out that time is at a premium. In the parish, what little there is of time will be dotted with meetings, calls, counseling, errands, ringing phones, and the reading and the sermon preparation you ought to be doing are easily the first things to be neglected. So I'd like to point out some reasons why it's helpful to plan your preaching program ahead of time. In the first place, such planning will help you to maintain your equilibrium on the ecclesiastical merry-go-round. When you plan long range, you won't be faced with so much emergency pressure as if you were on week-by-week planning. These pressures are caused by unexpected funerals, emergency calls. There won't be quite as much frustration because the general ideas for your sermon, as well as the resource materials, are already at hand. By organizing your activity ahead of time, you ease up on pressures. In the second place, planning your preaching program is good because it helps you to discipline yourself. The preacher, more than any other professional man, runs the risk of becoming lackadaisical. His time, to a large degree, is his own to budget. He has no time clock to punch and is free to establish his own habits. But if he's not careful, he will find himself wasting time, day after day, doing little or nothing. We can always find a good excuse for the things we do, or so we think. But place these things up against some of this shoddy preaching heard from our pulpits, and our use of many a minute will fall under judgment. Discipline is a sorely needed tool in a minister's workshop. By planning your preaching program ahead of time, you discipline yourself to choosing the texts that you're going to preach on. You discipline yourself to thinking ahead regarding possible themes. You discipline yourself with respect to gathering material appropriate for respective sermons. In the third place, planning your preaching will systematize and broaden your preaching. You'll systematize your preaching program because you will recognize the various styles and types of sermons that can be used. You'll be able to pace, PACE, individual sermons. You'll be able to look at parts of sermons to determine what you're doing in those respective divisions in terms of doctrinal development, anecdotes by which to illustrate. By having your preaching program planned, you have a long-range view of the kind of system you are establishing for yourself in your preaching program. There'd be less chance of it being a hit-miss affair, less chance of your coming up with virtually the same theme every Sunday. The preacher who plans from week to week, especially the preacher who is searching for a text every week, and probably not even finding one until Friday or Saturday, will probably find the text he has been using off and on for months, even years. In other words, his thoughts have stagnated. Consequently, his sermons revolve around two or three themes. The great gamut of Christian truth is left untouched by the very man responsible for the spiritual diet of his people. So you will, by planning your preaching, broaden it. You will see areas of Christian truth that you need to discuss. You will need to dig into in order for the congregation to have a well-rounded doctrinal diet. And this is always a rewarding experience, not only for you, but for your congregation. Then another aspect of this systematization and broadening of your preaching is that you'll be able to more effectively cover the whole range of Christian truth. When you pick out your sermons from Sunday to Sunday, it's often difficult to get the broad picture of what's being accomplished in the course of a year. As you plan ahead of time, you can pace your sermons also from Sunday to Sunday so that you don't talk about the same thing three or four Sundays in a row. You can note whether certain emphases are coming to the fore at certain seasons of the church year. You can note whether certain ethical concerns are coming to the fore, especially during the Pentecost season, at which time you will deal with the application of the truth to hearers' specific life situations. And that leads us into another aspect of this broadening of your preaching program, namely, fitting your preaching to the needs of the congregation. Pericopal systems are good, and I don't mean at this point to discourage them, but I think we have to be aware of the fact that the pericopal systems were not chosen with your particular congregation in mind. You know your congregation better than those people who set up the pericopal systems in earlier centuries or even at the present time. And so you may see fit to choose texts that tie in more directly to the needs of your congregation. On the other hand, when the preaching program is planned, the congregation might be paying more attention to your preaching simply because they have the impression that you are taking your preaching responsibility seriously. They realize that you are planning ahead of time and considering emphases and specific themes that will be helpful to them. Perhaps their appetites will be whetted in advance for the next topic. Then another advantage here of planning your preaching is that you're going to save time in the long run. The planning itself, of course, is time consuming. But you're going to save time because your Sunday text, as well as your theme, has been chosen, at least in broad outline, the theme that is in broad outline, well ahead of time, so you have some idea of the direction in which you're going to go for that particular Sunday. You'll be able to think of two or even three sermons at the same time. Obviously, the sermon that's coming up for the next Sunday is going to occupy the bulk of your time. But when you are aware of what you're going to preach on the following Sunday, and maybe even on the Sunday after that, you can be aware of those themes as you do your reading. You can be gathering materials, clipping articles and magazines and newspapers, and filing them away so that when the intensive preparation for that sermon comes, you will have a backlog of material on which to draw. So the earlier reading and the filing is going to save time in the long run. And it really is a time saver because when you're desperately looking for illustrations on Thursday or Friday for your Sunday sermon, that can become a very time-consuming process. So these advantages seem to me to be significant in the planning of your preaching program. In the first place, you take some of the pressure off in all of the activities that you have to engage in the ministry. You are made to discipline yourself. Thirdly, you systematize and broaden your preaching. And fourthly, you save time. Now, one more advantage I should mention that is quite meaningful to me. When you look at your preaching program, you can check up on what you've been doing in past years. You can look at past schedules of themes and Bible books, subjects, and see what new areas of scriptural truth might still need to be explored, areas that you ought to preach on. Another advantage in looking back like this, too, is the selection of your hymns. Many preachers get into the habit of choosing the same hymns all the time. And of course, a lot of congregations sing just certain hymns, and their repertoire is very, very limited. But by planning your preaching program and then checking back on what you've done the past year or the year before, you can also pre-select a number of hymns for one sermon. And thus the whole liturgical emphasis of the sermon or of the service is going to be more unified. And the choir director and the organist are going to receive a lot of help. Your pattern will be more flexible, less rigid. And certainly, when the organist has the list of hymns, particularly the office hymn, ahead of time, that's always appreciated. So these are some of the reasons why you ought to plan your preaching program. Next, I would like to suggest a guiding principle for planning your preaching. The principle is this: always, as you select your texts or your topics, keep your congregation in mind. Then, as you work with your text, you will be alert to the ways in which a particular text sheds light on the needs, the problems, the questions, and concerns of your people. The congregation needs to sense, "This sermon is for me." That's what makes preaching relevant, apt, fitting. Take a somewhat related field, salesmanship. And certainly the Lord wants us to use all the findings about human nature that are available to us. The first job of a salesman is not to sell his product, but to get people to listen to him as he talks about something they need. To get people's attention, we must first get them to move in our direction with us. This applies to teaching, selling, counseling, and preaching. If in our preaching we give the impression that this is what we think you people ought to know and do, we will not be nearly as effective as when we work with a thought for which the people are already prepared, concerning which they feel the need to be related to, pointed to. For example, which bulletin board notice of a sermon text would appeal more to the average layperson? The kingdom of God, or how we can overcome our fears? I think the answer is obvious. As you plan your preaching program, you need to be aware of what your people need and of what they recognize to be their need. Certainly, Jesus preached that way. That doesn't mean we should not speak of needs that people do not recognize. Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus, raised the right questions and pointed Nicodemus to needs that he wasn't even aware of. Jesus taught his great truths as he saw the situation in which people were. He fitted what he was saying to those particular situations and needs. So we have to many times help people identify and recognize their own needs. But that we must do. Norman Vincent Peale may be a shallow theologian, but he is appealing because he touches people's needs. That's why he is so timely and effective. However, our first task in preaching is not to satisfy needs, but to make disciples and to make better disciples. Every sermon need not review the entire story of salvation. It need not be Christ-centered in that sense. But every sermon should point to Christ as the Savior. A sermon, however, will not bring people to Christ if they will not listen to it. That's why we have to begin where people are. And then, when we have identified their needs, spoken to them where they are, We must confront them with Christ's answer to those needs. That's the unique privilege we have as preachers of the gospel. We don't just have to point to the problems, we can present the gospel remedy for those problems. But if the gospel is to speak to people where they are, obviously we have to know where people are. And how do we find out where they are? How do we identify their needs? I would like to suggest a number of ways in which this might be done. First, we have to get to know our people collectively and also individually. That's why it's often helpful to go and visit people at their place of work so that you get a feel for the environment in which they spend most of their waking hours. A second way in which to identify people's needs is to always keep a notebook handy in which you jot down the needs you have observed while making calls, while riding in buses or trains, while engaged in casual conversation with people. So you might jot down observations from family squabbles, or something you've observed in connection with an accidental death, or perhaps someone talks to you about being unable to pray. Jot down these things. Thirdly, in your own Bible reading, be alert to the way portions of Scripture tie in with your text for the coming Sunday or for two or three Sundays hence. Record those texts in that little book of yours. Have a separate section in the book for those. Fourthly, read devotional literature and the sermons of others, not just the sermon on next Sunday's text by somebody else, but sermons generally. Sermons can help you in your preaching style. They can stimulate your ideas. They can provide nice taking-off places for development of portions of your sermon. Fifth, you might have a group in your congregation discuss the text for the following Sunday. This procedure does not mean that you have to say in the next Sunday's sermon everything that the group has talked about. But this kind of a discussion is healthy because it shows where lay people are as far as the comprehension of a particular portion of Scripture is concerned, and as far as the application of that text is concerned. We preachers will sometimes make applications that are not meaningful to the layperson. So as you listen to lay people discussing the text, you get a feel for where they are, and you can come up with much more realistic application. Then, I guess we're at point five, aren't we? Another way of identifying people's needs is to distribute questionnaires. These could be inserted in the Sunday bulletin, in which you make it easy for people to respond to questions regarding the type of thing that they would like to hear discussed in sermons. It might be helpful to give a list of topics or a list of sermon themes and ask the people to check the ones in which they are most interested, the ones that they would like to have discussed. You'd be surprised at the responses that people will give to this kind of a questionnaire. In a congregation that the pastor always regarded as quite a sophisticated congregation, very many people responded to such a questionnaire by saying that they would like to hear more sermons on the catechism. The pastor didn't expect this kind of a response. Perhaps he should have, but that's what the people wanted to hear. So that would be one way of finding out where your people are and what their needs are. And then finally, point six. Use the church council or the board of elders to help you to evaluate the preaching program during the past year. In addition to the church council, call in the stewardship, the evangelism, the education committee, and have them suggest needs in their areas. And you then try to match these needs with texts that speak directly to them. So these are all ways in which you can get to know where your people are, so that as you plan your preaching program, it will be planned not just from the pulpit side, but from the pew side. You will have people in mind, and you will be concerned to speak relevantly to them. The gospel, of course, is always relevant. The problem that we preachers experience time and time again is that in our application of the gospel, our specific application to the actual living situations of people, we somehow miss the boat. And our application is much too general or unrealistic. Now, I'd like to conclude this lecture by specifying a way in which you can go about planning your preaching program. So let's get down to the mechanics of it. In actually planning your preaching, the first step is to set aside time to do it. Many preachers do this during their vacation, very often in August. It's a rather pleasant way to spend a portion of the day on the vacation, taking the applicable series that you're going to preach on during the following church year, which begins the next November, examining the texts, coming up with themes. At this time, it would be well to make a little chart of all the Sundays and also the weekday services that will occur. It would be well to note immediately which Sundays are going to be devoted to special purposes. Then, as you examine the texts of the series that you are intending to preach on, or as you are in the process of choosing your texts, you'll be able to fit the theme of the sermon to the emphasis of the particular Sunday. Try to find at least a general theme, perhaps a title, for each of the sermons in this preaching program. The second step is to plan any special sermon series, such as a series on the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, great hymns, and so forth. Be sure that these series come at a time during the year when you will be able to preach the series sermons consecutively. If you break up a series of sermons on the Ten Commandments, it will be very difficult for the people to get back into the train of thought that you sought to establish in the preceding sermons. Thirdly, bear in mind, as you plan your preaching program, that you can work in either direction. In other words, you can start from texts that have already been chosen for you, and then match the themes for the texts to existing needs, or you can start from the known needs and match them with the text. Choose the text accordingly. I think we've already said enough about the advantages and disadvantages of both methods for me, it to be unnecessary to lengthen that discussion at this point. All right, then the fourth step. step would be to take separate folders for each Sunday, turn tape to the other side.